Hello and welcome to Weekly Dev Tips. I'm Steve Smith, aka R. Dallas. This is episode 8, where I'll be sharing some tips on data transfer objects. This is the first of two episodes on this topic. Don't forget you can follow Weekly Dev Tips on Twitter and provide feedback or ask questions there. I'll dedicate some time to answering questions in future shows. Also, check out this episode's sponsor, DevIQ. DevIQ offers online training for software developers and designers, covering topics like UX, .NET development, and my own course, the ASP.NET Core Quick Start. Check them out at deviq.com. All right, so this week we're going to talk about data transfer objects, or DTOs. This is one classification of objects in many applications. These are a few tips you can use to avoid problems when you're using DTO objects. DTOs are, as the name suggests, objects whose main purpose is to transfer data. In object-oriented programming, we typically think about objects as encapsulating together state, or data, along with behavior. DTOs have the distinction of being all about the data side of things without the behavior. Why do we need DTOs? Often, we'll use DTOs as messages. They transfer information from one part of an application to another. Depending on where and how they transfer information, they might have different names. Often, we simply call them DTOs, but in some cases, you may see them characterized as view models, API models, or binding models, and probably other names as well. Not all view models in MVC apps are DTOs, but many can and probably should be. For instance, in a typical ASP.NET MVC application, you probably don't want to have any behavior in the view model type that you pass from a controller action to a view. It's just data that you want to pass to the view in a strongly typed fashion. If, on the other hand, you're following the MVVM pattern to build apps using WPF or something similar, then your view model in that scenario is supposed to have behavior and not to be a DTO. Hopefully, we'll come up with a better name for view models in MVC apps since right now it can be confusing, but obvious choices like view data are already overloaded since this exists in the ASP.NET framework as a separate type of object. So why shouldn't DTOs have behavior? DTOs don't have behavior because if they did, they wouldn't be DTOs. It's part of the definition. Their entire purpose is to transfer data, not to have behavior. And because they are purely data objects, they can easily be serialized and deserialized into JSON, XML, etc. Your DTO's data schema can be published, and external systems can send data to your system in a wire format that your system can easily translate into an instance of your DTO. If your DTO had behavior on it, perhaps to ensure that its properties are only set to valid values, then this behavior wouldn't exist in the string representation of the object that some client was sending to you over the wire. Furthermore, depending on how you coded it, you might not be able to easily deserialize objects coming from external sources. They might not follow constraints that you expected, or perhaps you didn't provide a default public constructor. The goal of DTOs is simply to hold some state so that you can set it in one place and access it in another. To that end, the properties on a DTO should all have public getters and setters. There's no need to try and implement encapsulation or data hiding in a DTO. If you follow these tips, you'll find that you'll have a lot less pain when working with your DTOs. That's it for this week. Next week, we'll go into part 2, and I'll add some more tips about DTOs and provide a full list of do's and don'ts. Thanks for listening. Please consider leaving a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you found this podcast so that other developers will be able to find and listen to these tips. See you next time on weeklydevtips.com.